listening to the Savvy Women Podcast, the podcast of savvy women who want to upskill themselves and lead a richer life. Hosted by Susan Hayes, the Positive Economist.
Good morning, Susan. How are you today?
I am fantastic, Julie. It's the beginning of a whole new season and I absolutely love the starts of exciting projects. So that's where we're at the moment. So I'm in great form. Thank you very much.
Is there any moment where you're not fantastic? Or is it, does it come from recording the podcast that makes you feel, you know?
There are indeed from time to time, and I have pursued a range of strategies about processing those moments and getting out of them, as people might remember from Managing My Energy podcast. So yes, there are, but today isn't one of them.
Yes, and recording a podcast always helps.
It always does. Always does indeed.
So today on the podcast, you are talking to Una O'Hagan, who is the founder and managing director of Mayor's Pharmacy.
That's right. Una is a fantastic woman who I met at an event in London. So we were all on, there's about 15 of us, we were on a trip to London with Enterprise Ireland, about 15 women. And I really met some fantastic people at that particular occasion. And I remember hearing Una's story. So Una told me how Mayor's Pharmacy got started and how she came to be within it. And from there, I just thought, oh, my God, this is a fantastic story. And people will hear that at the very beginning of the podcast. Because
yes,
of course,
it is.
It is
a fantastic story.
It's a great story. And it's so endearing and down to earth and just a single mindedness of I'm just going to try something and do it. And she didn't even see obstacles that people will see. Like they're pretty plain to see. What I really like about Una is that I have met her on many occasions since. Over the years, we've met at our various different offices or we've met at events, and I've met her from time to time at IIBN, the Irish International Business Network events and so on. And anytime I catch up with Una, she has this fabulous smile. And whenever you ask, how are things going? She'll always have a very positive, optimistic outlook, but she'll also tell you about times that can be tough or issues that happen. She has some very individual sector specific challenge that, so she'll often tell you about that as well. And over the past couple of months, I have seen Una win many awards, and I asked her about this, and she said, but the real prize for me is not when I win the awards, but those that my staff win or that the company wins. And that to me strikes me as true leadership in an in an organization, and that is what, in my opinion, epitomizes Una O'Hagan.
Yes. And that's something that she talks about at length in the podcast, you know, investing in people, in developing people, that's what her team wants to be developed. There's something else that you said, that you met Una at IIBN events, and IIBN is the International Irish Business Network, whereas Mayor's Pharmacies are all located in Dublin. So I think it testifies to Una's, she's very focused on growing her group, and it sounds like she's, you know, she has a very long-term perspective. Like she's in an international business network, even though her base is in Dublin.
I used to think that too, and in fact I would imagine Una would have, but with the onset of the online shop, that has really changed so much in that company. And she elaborates on her growth prospects for that too, but because she stocks a range of products that aren't available in any other group, and of course you mentioned that her base is in Dublin, and naturally her suppliers, or if they're not in Dublin, they can be throughout the country. But she would stock a range of Irish products and exclusive products that are available to anybody all around the world, because, of course, that's what the world of e-commerce has done. So as a result, her customer base with the investment she's had too, I won't just say that these people have just landed on her site by accident. There've been a lot of proactive investment, both in terms of money and in time and energy and marketing and focus and so on. So therefore, Una's company has expanded its reach anyway from that point of view. But also Una is very good at looking around the world at best practice. The reason the company is growing the way it's growing is, as I say, not by accident. And that's also another great reason to be part of an international network, is to see best practice or even just to get ideas from what's happening around the world. She's a remarkable woman. She's a fantastic entrepreneur, and she deserves every single piece of success that she has and that she will get, because she's very, very hardworking and very strategic and very, very smart.
Super, super. Now let's listen to Una and her wonderful story of how she started the group of pharmacies.
Hello, Una. It's absolutely super to be here in the Mars Group headquarters, am I right?
Yeah, our support office.
It's fantastic. I can hear the buzzing there of the activity of people packing orders for your online business, and it's just, you've created a fantastic environment. Tell me, because I love hearing the story, and you know I love hearing the story. Tell me about where it all began.
So it all began on Mars Pharmacy in Blackett Street. That was the first pharmacy that I worked in whenever I came to Dublin. So I came to Dublin, studied pharmacy in Trinity. It's a 4-year degree course, and the last year you need to find yourself a tutor. Back then you had to find yourself a tutor, today it's slightly different. They would teach you, I suppose, the ropes of the practicalities of being a pharmacist on the ground before you would sit your professional exam and be launched into the workplace as a fully practicing and registered pharmacist. So I was living in the Dublin 4 area, and I knew of Mars and Baggot Street. I used to shop in there, buy my tweezers, different things like that. Knew Pierce just from interacting with him. Thought he was a really quirky guy. Loved the shop.
He was the original owner
of
Mars.
He's the original owner, yeah. Okay. And I asked him to be my tutor. And then I just, from the minute I walked into the shop, I fell in love with it. Just loved the area. Loved, it had been his mum's shop before. So been there since the 1920s. So there's a lot of heritage to it. And loved the customers mainly. There was a real diverse kind of customer mix there. A lot of professionals, a lot of offices there. Plus then obviously residential. So absolutely loved it. Had a brilliant year with him. He kind of taught me the ropes in terms of mainly around customers and customer loyalty. And as well as obviously all the practicalities of being a pharmacist. And then after that, I didn't want to leave. I begged him whenever I was leaving that, you know, if he was ever selling pharmacy, that to give me a shout, to let me know. And 4 years later, I got that call. And he told me he was selling. He had an offer on the table from a multinational, but he remembered the promise that he had made. And he told me what the offer was. And he said, if you can match it, the pharmacy appears.
Okay.
So I set off trying to raise, it was £2 million at the time.
£2 million?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I was just mad now when I think back on it. But yeah, I phoned my mum, as you do.
Oh, yeah. That's the first place you go for business consultancy, yeah.
And said, you know, this is the story, this has happened. She'd known about the pharmacy because I'd spoken to her so many times. If I ever had my own place, that's where I'd want to be. And, you know, spoke to her about where to go. And anyway, I ended up, from a family connection who was abroad, got a number of a guy who knew somebody in AIB or whatever, and ended up getting a number of a guy in AIB in RTN, and tormented the poor guy every day until he would see me. So I think I rang him 4 or 5 times. And then on the Friday, he eventually said, listen, I cannot meet you next week. So I have no space. And I had to get back to Pierce the following Friday because he had told me 2 weeks and let me know. So I was going to have to meet you next week. It has to be for next Friday. And he said, no, listen, if anything, I'll see you before I start. So come in at 7 o'clock. On Monday morning.
Okay.
And bring a copy of your business plan.
A copy of your business plan, Una. Yeah. Of course, which you had ready to print off.
Yeah, I did, yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I didn't know anything about business because, you know, they don't teach you anything like that in pharmacy. They don't teach you anything to do with, like, even terminology. All of it was alien to me. So, I went off, bought a book on how to write a business plan in Hodges Pages. Just kind of jumped out of the shelf.
Yeah.
The title. And I read that from cover to cover that weekend. And I typed up, and put it into, you know, one of those plastic folders with this little, there's no PowerPoint or anything, like, and went along this under my oxter Monday morning with gusto, knowing that that was my only chance, really.
Yeah.
But whatever happened, not long after that, they gave me a call and they said they would back me and they'd give me the money.
They gave you £2 million?
Yeah.
My God. No, but I mean, you took on a debt of £2 million as a...
Yeah, starting off. But, you know, I look back at it now and I sort of think, you know, what was I at? That was so crazy. But at the time, I just didn't see... there wasn't... yeah, I was apprehensive, but there was no real fear. I just knew it was going to work.
Yeah.
I just knew it would work. And I wasn't scared at all. Like, it just, failure didn't even cross my mind, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's weird. Now I would think twice, obviously, about even borrowing that kind of money. But at the time, no, it didn't even dawn on me.
Which is great. And so from there, you just poured enthusiasm into it. And
yeah, from there,
what happened next?
Well, I'd worked there. I knew the opportunities that he was missing out on. I'd worked for the competition as well.
Yes.
So I could see what they were good at and what maybe they weren't so good at. And so, and that's why I knew it would work. I knew what they were good at and he wasn't so good at and what he was missing out on. So I just went in and applied everything, all the different ideas that I had. They started to work, and after I'd say about a year, I was getting, I wouldn't say bored, but I felt like I needed a new challenge, and I felt like I could do this again. And I started looking around for similar models, similar pharmacies that maybe wasn't realizing the full maybe retail opportunity that they had, and talking to their customers. They didn't have the product mix to suit their customers.
Okay.
And that's the next two pharmacies that I bought were off that kind of, that's what I was looking for in them. And then that took me up to, say, 2005. And then after that, I started looking at other greenfield sites close by, maybe GPs or...
Greenfield means that there's nothing there. Yeah. So you weren't this time buying an existing pharmacy. It wasn't start from scratch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a brand new opportunity, because obviously the cost is a lot lower for a greenfield site. You're not buying the goodwill of the business.
Mm-hmm.
So at that stage, an opportunity came up close by one of the pharmacies that we were actually trading in. But there was a big GP practice right beside it, and a unit came up beside that was free. So it made sense to try, because we got a lot of business from that doctor anyway, and it had been a laundress or something before that was closing down. So that was the first, I suppose, brand new pharmacy I set up. And because that got off to such a positive start from the get-go, I started thinking, okay, there's another way of actually growing without having that huge capital investment and that huge debt. So for the next few pharmacies, that's the route I took. But I was always keeping my eye out for other acquisitions that I felt I could bring something to it. So really, our growth has come from a mix between acquisitions
mm-hmm.
and greenfield sites.
And where are we at now? How many have you got now?
8 pharmacies now, and then obviously the online store, yeah.
8 pharmacies
mm-hmm.
and the online store. And tell me what the impact of online has been in the business, or what has that journey taught you?
Many things.
Mm-hmm.
that online is very different to bricks and mortar. That there's a particular set of skills that are required for online, which we did not necessarily have at the beginning. So we learned a lot, I suppose, through failure and through burning a lot of cash and putting a lot of money into it, but not really knowing exactly what we were doing.
Okay.
Until we had that realization that, you know, we needed to get new skills within the business that, you know, that understood online and understood online behaviors, customer behaviors, and just all of the analytics and everything behind that. And since we've, I suppose, made a proper investment and you know, and decided it wasn't just going to be an add-on to our existing business.
That's the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm.
That now we're seeing a great return on it, and we really fully believe in it, and it will be and continue to be a huge part of our business going forward, I've no doubt.
So what I'm hearing from you, Una, is I'm hearing analytics, I'm hearing integration with technology. Did you ever think technology would play such a role in the business, or has it always done that since that very beginning?
I think my eyes got opened whenever we, you know, at the time whenever the recession hit and our business model was just flipped on its head, because our business model was very much around dispensary at that time, and we had such extensive cuts under FAMPI through, you know, the HSE, that we were looking for something to give us information out of our systems, because we had like a EPOS system, we had a system in the dispensary, but actually to get the information out of the systems was a real challenge. It would take us, you know, hours and hours of Excel We didn't have it in real time. We're always looking at historic data. And at that time, we realized, listen, there has to be something out there that would give us information in real time. And we looked for a partner to actually build something bespoke for our business. And we did do that.
Okay, that's what you did. Okay.
Yeah. So and from that, I think I always thought of, you know, pieces of technology like this as nearly a cost to the business. But that piece of technology paid for itself within months, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that changed my perception of how technology is a real enabler within the business.
So it went from being a cost to an enabler.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. And also competitive, very much leading our competitive advantage, you know, so we could do, and we could get information out of our systems much quicker than maybe some of even the larger corporates who didn't have the information at their fingertips. And so therefore, we could move, we were quite agile, I mm-hmm. suppose. We could hop on things whenever they were hot. And so we're always now looking, if we have an idea, I suppose, we're always thinking, well, if only we had a system, or if there was something that could tell us X, whatever it is, and then we really try to go out there and find somebody who can provide that service for us.
Right.
So we do a lot of different partnerships with different technology companies in order to solve problems that we have within our business.
Okay, so the technology is not to the fore, it's the capability of how technology enables the business in making business decisions.
Right.
And it also seems to be here, any time that I'm in a Mars pharmacy or any time I talk to you, I'd say you use the word customer about 10 times every 15 minutes. Is that indicative of what this business is like? Is the customer truly, it's not just lip service. Mm-hmm. It is truly the customer is drives ultimately the business decisions, and it's capturing the customer's insights through the technology is really what this is all about.
Yeah, exactly. It's we use all, anything that we get out of that business intelligence tool. What we're looking for is, well, what are our customers doing? What are they coming in for? How often are they coming in? When they come in, what are they buying? Who are coming in and only interacting with us for healthcare things or dispensary items? And who are coming in and shopping the store? And how can we influence those decisions then? So we're really trying to use the insights that we get from our EPOS data, because all we have is transactional data, really, in order to make those decisions. So we then realize whenever we had that information, okay, that got us so far, but actually we didn't know who that customer was. We didn't know if that customer was male, female, what age they were, anything like that. So that's why we actually started, we launched our M+ rewards card. Mm-hmm. So that is our loyalty program, which we obviously give lots of savings to our customers for. We have points that they can cash in, all of that type of stuff. But what the real reason we did that was to get to understand our customers much better. Because whenever you sign up, obviously, we know what age you are, what sex you are. Now we can have better insights into our customers. And so now what we do is use that, I suppose, as a research platform to talk to our customers, to interact with them and ask them the question, well, if we were to do this, what do you think? Or if we were to get this palette of in eyeshadow palette, what color would you choose? Before we would even make a purchasing decision, whether we should stock that brand, mm-hmm. stock that particular product, or if we are stocking it, what colors to stock or whatever. So we use information from these platforms to make our business decisions.
So ultimately, the research platform is designed to give an even better customer experience.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then whenever we have that, you know, whether it's a product, I know, Susan, you come into us for, you know, vitamins here. So you're proactive about your health and you always will try a new skincare brand that we're in. So you like to shop around, whatever. So if we have a new product that we know that you would like, because that's what the way you shop, that's what we'll communicate. Anything that's relevant to you, we communicate it back to you, as opposed to sending the same message to all of our customers and it not being relevant, because that really annoys customers. I know that really annoys me as a customer from, you know, a department store or whatever. Why you send me these messages whenever I never shop and whatever. So we're really tailoring our message to suit our customers. So it's really getting to know our customers much, much better. And we do that through M+ in our stores, but also online. So again, a lot of insight information, you know, that we would have, lots of insights. And then we try and think, okay, every business decision we're trying to make, we try and say, well, what would our customers think of that?
What would our customers think of that? I mean, I'm just thinking about the millions of businesses who would probably improve within day one if they just asked that question and took the time to answer it like you've been doing. Does Mara's Pharmacy have values, values that it lives by? And are one of those something to do with customers?
That's our number one value. Yeah.
Oh, really? No, I never would have guessed that. Okay. And I genuinely didn't know that. I assumed that. I can see that that's the case, which is better than you telling me and then saying, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I could see straight away that the customers are number one. Mm-hmm. And what else is important to Mara's?
So our six core values are customer first, so that's the first thing. Second is family. So, and what we mean by that is that we support each other and know what everybody's strengths are. And if, like, I'm really bad at like Excel and stuff like that.
So I love Excel.
I'm woeful. I've got a 3 training course, still can't get it.
Oh, love it.
So guys here know what I'm not good at. Like, and so they'll step in and they'll offer their support whenever they know I need to use something that I'm not good at. And that's how it works here. And it's the same in stores. Like, you know, there's some of our people are brilliant with customers and some of them are brilliant at maybe doing the operational things behind the scenes. So it's really recognizing what everybody's strengths are and playing on that. Then community, we always get back to the community. So we really are very proud of being entrenched in the communities in which we serve. And it's figuring out, okay, well, what else could we do within our communities to give back? Because we know that if we're out there, our customers are our best marketeers, our customers are our best brand advocates. So if we're out and about and doing things within our community, that comes back to us in spade loads. Mm-hmm. So the community is really important to us. Then expertise, obviously, because we are a team of highly qualified people. Pharmacy is a very intense course, and you know, and sometimes people don't even recognise or appreciate the skills that we do have. And that goes for healthcare advisors that we have. We have sports advisors. We have nutritionists that work for us. So we have a very highly qualified team. So, and what we are always looking for there is for people to constantly want to get to, you know, better their skills. So always further development. And within the business, I suppose, we have a lot of different training courses that even layer on top of whatever people would be doing in college. So there's like obviously an intern program that people, we have a team of interns that come out from the different schools of pharmacy. They stay with us for a year before they qualify, just like I did with Pierce. But we actually have, on top of their intern program that they would have out of the college, we would have our own intern program to teach them the basic communication skills. And, you know, and things that you wouldn't learn in college, like practical skills. We have a training program for our technicians, for our managers, all of that. So expertise is really important to us because we know from our team that the number one reason, the one thing that they want from any employer is to be developed. It's not necessarily the money, it's not the wages, it's, you know, it's to feel valued and feel like, you know, that we're investing in them. So that's how we do that. The other two then is, one is innovation. We're always trying to, as we say, push boundaries and try, because we're small in the grand scheme of things in the pharmacy sector, so we're up against the big guys. So it's always trying to be, as we call it in here, be the pink duck and be recognised, and how can we do things either faster, better, slicker, or get noticed. And then the final thing is positivity. So we try to do everything with positive attitude.
There's no trial goes into that. That happens anyway.
Yeah. Well, just to approach every challenge, really, it's about approaching every challenge and seeing there has to be an opportunity in this. And no matter how bad the problem is, what is the opportunity? That's the first question we try and ask. What's the opportunity in this? So it's really about a mindset change and not giving out about whatever it might be and thinking, okay, what's the learning in this, you know, or what's the opportunity? Can we maneuver this situation to our advantage?
And as we bring this interview to a close, Una, because I could happily sit and listen to you for the day, and I have done on occasion, so what's the next big challenge or the next big chapter in the Mara Pharmacy story?
Yeah, well, we're definitely still in a growth strategy, so we want to continue to grow. You know, we feel like we have a team here that can support further growth without, you know, and we have a particular cost base that we need to maximise now. So we definitely want to grow. The big opportunity, though, for us that we recognise is online and growing that further. So at the minute, we're just shipping in Ireland.
we've been researching various different markets across the world. So we don't want to just switch on that we're shipping globally. We want to be very strategic about it. So particular countries we're targeting, particular cities in particular countries we're targeting. So we have all of that research done. So in the next month or two, probably before the end of November, we'll switch that on. So the world's a very small place whenever you're digitally connected, as you know, Susan. So we see huge opportunity worldwide for the products and the services that we offer.
And on that very positive note, on the sixth core value, Una O'Hagan from Mars Pharmacy, thank you so much for your time today. And as always, you're exceptionally inspirational. I love your opening story, and it's been fantastic to be out here today. Thanks so much for having me, and for sharing your story with our Savvy Women Online listeners.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Una. So much more.